Well, I praise the Lord for a godly mom who was a channel of grace in my life. I received from her not only my driven personality, I have sometimes used the word bulldozer to describe my mom, and that's not a, I don't mean that in any kind of insulting way, but my mom's kind of like a bulldozer, and I got that same personality from her. But much more importantly from that, I watched in my mom how to take that drive and drive for the cause of Christ. And I learned that from my mom. And my mom is now in her 70s and she is still driving as hard as ever for the cause of the Christ she loves. So I rejoice in a godly mother. I also rejoice in a godly mother-in-law who is just as eager to give her all for Christ and who so eagerly supports her children as they pursue that. She lives in South Carolina. Her kids are in California and Australia. Her two oldest, you know what some parents would think about that kind of setup. But they have been so wonderfully supportive. And I praise the Lord for my wife, who came into my office last night almost in tears because Abby had prayed herself for the first time. And I thought, what a joy to have a wife who is not so moved by designer jeans as by seeing her little girl learn how to pray. That is a great privilege. So the Lord has blessed me with so many wonderful women in those different relationships, and especially praise the Lord for my mother. You can turn to Colossians chapter 1. My time is really short this morning, but that's not a problem because I've figured out the secret to successful motherhood, and I will tell it to you briefly. Rather than writing a book and making millions, I'll just tell you. Does that ever strike you, the people who could tell you how to make your millions on the stock market, but they want you to pay them $10 to tell you how? Colossians chapter 1. By the way, you'll want your worship guide, because the secret to successful motherhood is buried in this beautiful piece of artwork that I put in your worship guide. So you'll want to have this out, and I will sign copies of this afterwards if any of you are able to recognize the depth, the beauty in my art. Colossians 1, let's pray together before we look at the Word. Our Father, we come to You again, dependent completely upon You as our Shepherd. And I pray that by Your grace, through Your Spirit, through Your Word, through the magnifying of Christ in our hearts, that You would shepherd us today. We need it. We are just the sheep of Your pasture, and we are completely dependent on You for everything, not just for our next breath, but for all the grace we need to know Your truth and to grow in grace. So help us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. We don't have a handout for the sermon because that little picture is all you need. And just in case my art skills have confused you, that is supposed to be like a stone arch. And I would call it Roman or something, but I don't even know enough about architecture to know whether this has anything to do with Rome or not. But I'll call it a stone arch. And you can see the keystone at the top, which is pulled out to draw our attention to it. And note with me that that keystone, if you put it in that arch, does three things. First of all, it supports the weight. The other pieces each press in on that, and it has to support the weight of them. And in a large arch can even support several tons of weight. Notice also that that keystone keeps everything in its proper place as long as it's where it's supposed to be. All the other pieces are where they're supposed to be. And then thirdly, it makes the arch useful. Take out the keystone, and rather than having an arch, you have a big pile of stones to get in your way. So it supports the weight, it keeps everything in its proper place, and it makes the arch useful. This is not really deep and profound. This is very simple. Moms, you have a whole bunch of pieces of your life you're trying to hold together. You have marriage, you have children, you have work, you have ministry, you have And then each of you have some very unique responsibilities that shape who you are. And these pieces you're trying to hold together in your life, they are what make up your days in your life. And I have gotten a glimpse of what it's like to be a mom now that my wife is one. And it's obvious that a mom has a hard job. Just yesterday morning, I was playing with Abby, and Adam was in there in the room playing with Abby, and I snuck out of the room and went and got a couple things done. You know what it's like when someone watches your kids, even for 2 minutes, it's great. I snuck out of the room and went and got a couple things done, and for a few minutes while Adam played with Abby, and later at lunch, Adam said, yeah, I kept sitting there, and I'm doing stuff with her, and I kept thinking, where's Tim? Tim's got to come. Come on, where's Tim? And I said, yeah, do that 10 hours a day, and you know what it's like to be a mom. You got it. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of endurance. And a mom has a lot of areas of responsibility. She's trying to hold together, keep in place, hold up at the same time, kind of like the pieces in that beautiful arch. A mom's got to have a really strong keystone. Look at Colossians chapter 1. And it tells us there's only one that God has appointed for all of life. Colossians 1 verse 13. God rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the first in rank, firstborn of all creation. For by Christ all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. First place, preeminence in everything. There's only one proper keystone for our lives, and it's Christ. And actually, we can say that's true of the whole universe. God created everything so that Christ would have preeminence. He created everything so that it only functions correctly when Christ is in first place, when He's the keystone. We said three things. The keystone supports the weight, keeps everything in its proper place, and makes the arch useful. So moms, Christ can support the weight of all your responsibilities in all the areas of your life. It is too heavy for you. It is too heavy. You know that one of the interesting headlines recently, it's been cover stories in things like Time magazine. It's been articles all across the country. It's been the number of moms. Two things that I've seen. One is the number of moms going through midlife crises who feel like their lives are falling apart when they hit their 40s. Secondly, the number of moms who are middle class, married, with kids, soccer moms, and they're meth addicts. We've had news in our area about that multiple times recently. It's too heavy. You're not supposed to stand in the middle of your life and hold all those pieces together. Christ has to be keystone. He is the only one with the strength to hold all that up. Then secondly, only Christ can keep everything in its proper place. Priorities are such an incredible challenge when you are a parent. Your time is always pressed. Many different areas of your life are demanding your attention. But when Christ is the keystone, when He gets first place, the rest of the pieces take their proper places. And then finally, when Christ is keystone, your life is useful. You're fruitful, to use the Bible word. But many women reach a point of despair. We often call it depression. And there are times when maybe depression is a better word for it. But a lot of times, a better word for depression would be the word despair. That's what it is. It's despair. It's what happens when the arch is crumbling. It's what happens when the pieces have gotten too heavy and things start to get out of place and it's falling apart, and it's as if mom's in the middle of that arch in your picture and there's no big strong keystone there. There's just little mom trying to hold all this together. No wonder she's in despair. What do you do? Every time you try to prop up this piece or that peace, you find out it's too much to handle. And while you're focusing over here, this is falling apart over there. And life crumbles. And many moms end up in despair. What an encouragement to know that there is a perfect keystone to hold it all together, to support it all. If you look to yourself for all the answers, you'll despair. If you turn to Christ and seek Him as the keystone for your life, I think you can find hope. Now, what makes Christ the keystone of your life? How do you know if He is? And that's a huge question, a really big question that will take a lot more than the 10 minutes I've got. But I'll just make two comments about that, and I just want to stop and say, you know, for high school seniors, this is the same thing. This is the same thing. Some of you are going to go to Christian college. What you're going to find out at Christian college is there are a whole bunch of other things that'll vie for the attention in the center of your life. A whole bunch of things. And you can study so hard and go listen and learn and do all this stuff at college and get to the end of it and look back and say, where was Christ in all that? And so you, just as much as any of our moms, need Christ as keystone. What did that look like? Well, I think from the verses we've looked at today, two simple Bible answers. In Colossians 1, it said, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. To have Christ as your keystone means that He gets first place. He gets ultimate priority in your life. How do you know whether He has first place or not? That's a big question. But obviously you can tell what gets first place by what gets your time, your focus, your attention, your resources. That's what has first place. Christ is keystone when He has first place. Or, let's go back to Matthew 13:44. Will you turn there with me quickly? It's just one verse, but it's such a critical verse. We've looked at it the last few weeks, but I want us to look at it again. Matthew 13. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found, and he hid it again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has so he can go back and buy that field and get that treasure. So when you ask the question, okay, how do you know if Christ is the keystone of your life? What does that mean? I say, that's a hard question, but here are two Bible answers. One, it means He has first place. Two, it means He's your treasure. You know, back when I was dating my wife, sometimes she'd write at the bottom of notes, you know, those little love notes you always write when you're dating. She would write the words from the psalmist, whom have I in heaven but Thee, and there is none on earth that I desire but You. Talking about God. There is none on earth that I desire, except You. Okay, that's good, right? Marry somebody who loves God more than they love you. But I didn't like that. I read my love note, and at the bottom she's got this verse about how she loves God more than she loves me. And I'm thinking, I don't like this. I mean, I remember that tension in my heart, thinking, yeah, that's good, but I don't like that. Okay, marry somebody who loves God more than they love you. That means, moms, you've got to love God more than your home decorating, your social activities, your fashion, your hobbies, your career, your husband, your kids. Did you hear that last one? Did I just swear? I dared to say your kids aren't first. Because they can't be. Your life will fall apart if you do that. Christ has got to be treasure. You've got to love Him more than anything else. All of those things I just listed may be pieces in your arch, but none of them will do as the keystone. They aren't strong enough to hold it all together. They're not the right shape to keep everything in place. And as important as they may be, if you try to make them the centerpiece of your life, things are going to crumble. Christ has to get first place. Christ has to be your treasure. And one other way to know whether Christ is your treasure or not is to look at the women in the Bible and watch what comes out of their mouths when they talk about God. Because you'll find you have a legacy of godly women who love God above all else. Like Mary. She said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." And because of that, her life made sense. Even when an angel shows up and tells you you're going to have a baby when you're not married. Because God was her treasure, she could say, "Behold, the servant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." Because she had a keystone, her love for God, which supported and gave purpose to her life and the shocking news she received. You remember Deborah? Not exactly your soccer mom. You know, prophetess, judge, military commander. Married too, we know from what it says about her. This is a woman with some serious pressure in those stones in her life. She's got nation and army at her command. You know what she said? "Bless the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord. Let those who love Him be like the rising of the sun in its might." Because God was her passion, she had purpose, she had meaning for the rest of her life. Hannah. And Hannah is a very interesting example, because if anybody ever loved a child, it was Hannah. And some of you know what that's like. Hannah said, "My heart exults in the Lord." And listen to these words, "There is no one besides you." You mean not even Samuel? You mean not even the child of your dreams and your prayers? No. There's no one besides you. What did she do with Samuel? She raised him to go serve the Lord. A child of her dreams. "My heart exults in the Lord. There is no one besides you." Her parenting had meaning because God was the keystone, not little Samuel. So there's a legacy of godly women. And when you hear them talk, you find out what the keystone is. Because when you hear them talk, what do they say about God? These women said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced. Bless the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord. Let those who love Him be like the rising of the sun in its might. My heart exults in the Lord. There is no one beside you." Those are the words of a woman who has things in their proper place. And so I said that everything in the universe is designed to function correctly when Christ has first place. Your marriage, your parenting, your job, it's not supposed to work if Christ doesn't have first place. And some women are in despair and they're trying to figure out, why is everything falling apart? It's supposed to fall apart when there's no keystone. God does that graciously. God does that to show us that you have to have Christ. God does that to drive us to Christ. And the result is, and what I want to say to you this morning for your encouragement, that means that if you feel life crumbling around you, that doesn't mean that you are a failure and it's all over. You've blown it. Forget it. That's not what it means. It means God's letting your stones slip and fall and slide to show you that you've got to get back to the keystone that'll hold it all together. You see that? And even the falling apart of things in your life that you're experiencing does not mean God hates you. There's hope. Because it's not all up to you, it's all up to Christ. And I have one more thing I want to say to the moms. You might listen to me this morning and say, "You know, I don't know, but my kids are grown and gone and I feel like I blew it. I feel like it's too late. I needed Christ as my keystone 15, 20 years ago, but I was off on other stuff. And now look at the mess I've made." And you say, "This is not a very encouraging message, Tim." Well, to you I say this. And moms, I hope you will learn that when it's all said and done, you really only rest on one thing, and that's Christ. And so I say this to you, like the songwriter said, "Before the throne of God above, you have a strong and perfect plea. You have a great high priest whose name is Love, whoever lives and pleads for you." when Satan tempts you to despair and tells you of the guilt within. The songwriter says, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. And mom, whatever happens with your kids, whatever happens with your marriage, whatever happens with the other things you're trying to do in your life, you fight despair ultimately by making Christ your treasure and learning that when Satan tempts you to despair, learning what it means to look up and see him there who made an end to all your sin. You should not have to despair when you have Christ. Let's pray. Father, I praise you for Christ, and I love these people. And I long for these ladies to have rest in their souls because they know Christ. And Father, there are some here who are in so much turmoil in their heart. They really are despairing. And I plead with you today that you would take their eyes off of all the stones in their life and just allow them to look up and see the Christ who made an end to all their sin and to see in Him strength and to see in Him forgiveness and to see in Him grace. And to say, no, I can't do it, but I've got Christ and I have more than enough of everything I need in Him. Father, will you turn their hearts to you? Will you rescue the ladies of Grace Bible Church from despair and make them joy-filled God worshipers and make every area of their lives make sense because of Christ? Father, I pray for your work in their heart today. In Jesus' name, amen.